The only way socialism has any chance in America is for the education system to push it in schools. One must remember the father of their modern education elite beliefs is one John Dewey, a communist, a failed teacher who pushed what are now clearly education theories. Good evening. It's Friday. It has been some time since I've been on live on a Friday for a good number of reasons, but this one became quite interesting to me for several reasons that you'll begin to understand. 2 days ago, I published a piece on Metropolis.cafe entitled Black Lives Matter in Public Schools is Turning Kids into Little Marxists. Schools across the country are adapting BLM curriculum at an alarming rate, indoctrinating our children to achieve Marxist objectives. Now, that's the opening segment of that article. For some months now, I've been receiving several emails a week from an organization called Education Week, a post that I've come to look forward to receiving. Until yesterday. One that I'm going to share portions of it with on the air. And I do this so that you will understand my response to the publishers of their website. It is harsh, but I felt that it had to be said. And why? I'll let my comments to them explain my reasoning. But you're going to have to answer the questions, did I go too far or not far enough? There are times that something just gets into your craw that you must finally respond to, and this was it. And you will need to decide for yourself, for the benefit of maybe your students, your children, your grandchildren. My friends, the reasons for homeschooling become more clear with each passing day. For if you choose not to provide it for your charges, then all I'm about to share with you, they're going to become subject to. I took snapshots of what they submitted to me. And it opens by stating 2020 has been a year like no other. The pandemic not only altered life as we know it, it also exposed the deep fault lines in our nation's schools. The nation has also embarked on one of the largest movements in its history as Black Lives Matter protests surged across the country over the brutal killing of George Floyd in May. Educators see the need to equalize and improve the educational experience for black students, but they might not have the tools nor the support they need to address curriculum or practices and policies that have long denied black students the same opportunities to thrive as their white peers. Oh, Lord, that was the opening that ticked me off. And then I began to scroll down to look at the headlines of some of their various different topics that they were presenting to school systems and teachers and educators throughout the country who subscribe to Education Week. The first headline, Dismantling Systemic Racism in Schools, Big Ideas. Get an overview of this fall's Big Ideas special report, which is dedicated to addressing anti-black systemic racism in schools. Headline, Do America's Public Schools Owe Black People Reparations? School districts must make amends for their racist history, writes Daryl Burnett. What should this look like? Headline, Was I part of the problem? A journalist studies her own reporting on race. Veteran reporter Deborah Viadero invites researchers to scrutinize her decades of reporting for racist bias. And three additional headlines. Internet access is a civil rights issue. Next one. What abolishing the police means to me, a student's perspective. And finally, are strained police relations with black teens a solvable problem? Oh, my God. All of this just ticked me off. And at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, I began to write. And I stated, I love receiving your updates on a continued basis. In addition, I have also forwarded them to a number of schools and districts and educators that I'm more than familiar with, and always get a hearty thank you for this information. However, this issue of your weekly mail-out is pure nonsense. One of the statements, the nation has also embarked on one of the largest movements in its history as Black Lives Matter protests surged across the country over the brutal killing of George Floyd in May. My statement, is this what you people actually believe? The development and unbelievable riots and destruction has nothing to do with the death of George Floyd. His death merely became the excuse for what is transpiring in this nation. Is this what you become about? The promotion of more of the ongoing hatred and so-called education of our nation's students? There are two sides to every story, and you have not only taken the wrong side of the issue, but you're once again showing exactly what is wrong with the entire public indoctrination system. Deep fault lines in our nation's schools? Oh yes, you're correct. Because you, the districts, and the Department of Education have allowed our system to fall so far. But in addition, the parents have sat back and allowed the system to become nothing more than a high-cost babysitting and indoctrination system. And finally, educators see the need to equalize and improve the educational experience for black students. My response was, sorry, my friends, but students of all colors each have the ability to make their own choices in life, along with their parents. Color has nothing to do with the choices that they make. And then I referred them to a column I published at Federal Observer. I said, read the following and then tell me whose responsibility all of this is. Now, the title of that column was The Dishonest Lunacy of Claiming Systemic Racism. And then I stated to them, you cannot fix stupid while playing directly into the hands of the idiots. And I went on to say, my wife retired from teaching some 9 years ago and yet has remained in high demand as a full-time substitute teacher at many schools and districts within our area, sometimes being contracted for months at a time, and in fact, 1 year for the entire year at one high school. She does not receive those kind of accolades by playing into the idiocy of this nonsense. It is time for you to cease buying into it and promoting it as well. And understand that while I have emphasized the word you in this commentary, I do not necessarily mean education week, but frankly, you're playing directly into the war for socialism. Maybe it's time for you folks to go back to school. You may start by entering Mr. Adair's classroom, my fifth grade teacher of 6 decades ago, who taught me to not buy into everything that you hear or read, or that is represented as truth. Never stop searching for the truth. Signed, Jeffrey Bennett, broadcaster, author, publisher, and teacher, Metropolis.cafe. I sent that email many, many hours ago. We'll see if and what kind of response that we might ever receive. How you all doing this Friday evening? This is something I've been sitting on for a while, what I'm about to share with you. It's something that drew me when I first read this some years ago for personal reasons. I remember the first, I'm not going to say the first movie, Hollywood movie that I saw on television. As many of you know, I was born in southeastern Wisconsin. I spent a good number of my years and summers and holiday weekends and all this kind of stuff after my family had moved down to Illinois. I spent much time in Wisconsin at my great-grandmother's home and subsequently across the ravine at my grandfather's home. And back in the early days of television, it was fairly common for these new television stations to contract to have movies that they could run. But these were old movies, films from the 1930s, sometimes the 1940s, but most of them were from the 30s. And I began to really get wrapped up in them. The interesting thing is they would contract for a film for 1 week. And you saw that movie every single night for about 5 or 6 days. And I saw, you know, Romeo and Juliet with, I can see their names, Leslie Howard. I can't think of the gal's name was in it. John Barrymore was in it. That's one film in particular. But down in Illinois, living in Northbrook on the second story of a two-story house, my aunt and uncle and my cousins lived on the lower story. The first somewhat more up-to-date film that I saw was a John Wayne film, Red River, which probably in the long haul became one of my three absolute favorite John Wayne films, the other two being The Quiet Man and The Searchers. No, this is not a program about John Wayne. Certainly numerous references. But let's go back in history. There is distinct reasoning for all that I'm about to share with you. But enjoy the history. It will bring back many memories for those of you who are around my age. Since the beginning of the 20th century, one of the newer art forms and expressions of our culture has been cinema. Not the senator from Arizona, not Kristen cinema. We're talking about motion pictures. It became the novelty of live theater and acting captured as moving images in film and presented on a screen. And in many respects, like other art forms, film represents what's happening in our culture. At its very finest, it is capable of shining a vivid light on our beliefs and our values, portraying them, dissecting them, and like other art forms, it may be used as an instrument to affect or even shape our outlook and our politics. The first significant commercial film produced and shown in the United States was one called The Great Train Robbery, done in 1903, the year of my grandfather's birth, interestingly enough. Starred one Bronco Billy Anderson. A mere 12 minutes long, American film culture began thus with a Western. And indeed, it is arguable that the unique cinematic contribution made by the American film industry was the Western, according to Ilya Kazan. It was from the classic Western that crime dramas and adventure films were spun off. One could well argue that Major American crime movies up through, say, The Untouchables. We're talking about the film, not the television show. Or even some more recent representations were Westerns dressed up with cops and robbers. And with those magnificent adventure films about space exploration, the Star Wars, Star Trek series, are they not Westerns transported into the relative infinity of space and time with our unquenchable desire to explore new frontiers where no man had gone before? My friends, it was the Western and its multiple modern cinematic godchildren that represented so well and it encapsulates so aptly the movement of American history. The aspirations, the insatiable curiosity of our citizens. And just how we as a people overcame various challenges in building what became the United States of America. It is a story of conquering frontiers as a symbol for the growth and evolution of the American nation. Offered graphically and sometimes with violence, the effects of right and wrong actions, and the absolute requirement for law and order in any civilized society. And it is, at its best, a chronicle of great persons, some real, some idealized, others made up. By whose hands the nation was fashioned. We hold those persons up as heroes and as models. And thus, Davy Crockett, a Wild Bill Hickok, Sam Houston, a Buffalo Bill, or even a Jesse James. All real flesh and blood people in our past. Each vividly emerged from the pages of our history books and entered our consciousness into our everyday lives. Sometimes, as in the case of Billy the Kid or maybe the Clantons of Old Tombstone, they became iconic representations of the bad guys, of the less savory symbols of our history. But in all cases, they become reference points that make our history alive and tangible. Some years ago, a publication called The Playlist came out with a list of what they called the 25 best westerns of all time. Reading that list is to understand that as much of Hollywood has moved strongly to the ideological left over the past decades, the Hollywood Western also reflects that movement in the subjects and messages it seeks to portray. And yet, indeed, the fact that since the late 1960s and early 70s, the Western has receded as a major film genre is, in itself, quite significant. For the Western, more than other cinematic manifestations, is somewhat autobiographical about the growth, the trials, and above all, successes of and pride in the American experience. Since certainly the late 1960s, Vietnam, and the great success of cultural Marxism in our society, the role of the Western is a reflection of the triumph of traditional good or evil, of the ever-advancing and intrepid frontiersman triumphing over natural hazards, over the elements and fierce aborigines. It's all receded. America no longer celebrates those heroes, if it celebrates heroes at all. It is the vaunted pioneers in civil rights, a Susan B. Anthony, a Nat Turner, or hitherto unknown feminists who, save for political correctness, should have remained unknown. Right and wrong, my friends, black and white were muddled. We live in an age of the anti-hero, where inherited and tried and true standards of morality and moral conduct are not only shunted aside, but they're often ridiculed. What does John Wayne in, for example, The Searchers, where She Wore a Yellow Ribbon, have to tell us in our society now, where even the concept of duty and obedience to moral right is largely downplayed and considered unsophisticated by the dominant culture? In one of the last great classic Western epics, Sam Peckinpah's Ride the High Country, made in 1962. Joel McRae is asked by his co-star, Randolph Scott, if he doesn't really want more in life than just what appears to Scott to be his drudgery as a lonely, low-paid deputy marshal. McRae's character, Steve Judd, responds laconically in one of those immortal lines that epitomizes both the representative and the didactic roles of the American Western when he says, "All I want is to enter my house justified." In other words, I want to fulfill my duty, my God-given duty and appointed role in society, to obey and keep the law, to receive the precious legacy of the culture that I inherited, perhaps add to it a bit, and then pass on, unsullied, to my children and my posterity. Is this not the message that the classic Western offered us, and as well was inculcated into the imaginations of millions of young boys and girls, as well as older adults, during its heyday? Was this not the message of Matt Dillon on TV's Gunsmoke, or Ben Cartwright of the Ponderosa? In that incredibly rich John Ford Western, The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, also from 1962. After Jimmy Stewart has recounted to the assembled newsmen the long history of how he almost inescapably took the credit for John Wayne's gun down to the infamous bandit Liberty Valance, and how it propelled him to fame and to the United States Senate, and how what had been believed for all those years was essentially built on a legend. A stunned news reporter replies, "This is the West, sir. When legend becomes fact, print the legend." Can you see that happening in this country today? Interesting that the statement was made by a so-called news reporter. And it sounds to me like that's exactly how it's being done in the media today. Yeah. When legend becomes fact, print the legend. That seems to be what they're doing. So, America, the America that we have loved and wish to preserve and restore, has been dying an awfully slow death for years for lack not only of genuine heroes, but for lack of sometimes shadowy, almost sometimes mythical legends. For our society, our culture is not only built on the quantifiable advances of science and materiality, or in the history of new civil rights laws, or on the growth of the sports or entertainment industry. Every culture has its legends, you know, its quasi-mythical past that inspires it and adds a certain attractive richness and purpose to its existence. Without the great Norse sagas of Scandinavia, or the legend of King Arthur of Britain, or the story of Peleo in Spain, something integral, something very real and essential in the history of those entities would be lacking. Our author remembers going to see Ride the High Country with his father at the old Ambassador Theater in downtown Raleigh. That's North Carolina. One of those indelible, intensely moving experiences that still remains with him these years later. His father grew up in Charlotte area, had actually known the family of Randolph Scott, so the event was special for him. And after the movie, he took the time to explain to his son that Randolph Scott character, who initially had skipped out on McCrae's character, but returned to help him fight one last battle against the bad guys, had earned redemption. He paid the price for his sin by returning. And McCrae, in one of the most memorable death scenes in all films, has a final conversation with Scott's character. Scott tells him, "Don't worry, Steve. I'll take care of everything, including getting the gold shipment back into the rightful hands." McCrae's character replies, "Heck, I always knew you would. You just forgot for a while." You know, blessed are those who have the opportunity to repay the price for evil in this life. That was the message that one would take away from this film. In an amazingly marvelous film representation, two old cowboys brilliantly and wonderfully illustrated and taught much about duty in life, about the importance of complying with our obligations. And finally, about redemption for the sins we have committed. But back in those days, there were dozens of films coming out of Hollywood every year that represented what was noble and right in our history, and that served as teaching models as we reached manhood. We wanted to be Gene Autry. We thought Matt Dillon the finest lawman ever. We laughed out loud with the lovable Hoss Cartwright and Gabby Hayes. We held up John Wayne as our national hero, whether on a horse out west or aboard a World War II battle wagon afloat or knocking down Victor McLaughlin in a bar in Ireland. Tell me who society's heroes are. And I'll tell you what the society values, and that's society's future. Think about that one line for just a moment. Tell me who society's heroes are today. What, LeBron James? Kaepernick? If this is what society values, George Floyd? Lord help us. What is the future ahead of us? Those classic westerns, for those of us who've been around, continue to be popular. Although you'd never know it from the Academy Awards or the hoopla generated by contemporary Hollywood. I mean, I remember the left-leaning film critic remarking in condescending tones some years ago that in all likelihood those much abused deplorables who ended up voting for Trump were probably the same people who liked old John Wayne westerns and wanted to be Roy Rogers when growing up. He got a lot of respects. Maybe he was right, but for the wrong reasons. For you see, many of we deplorables are people who grew up with the inherited moral consciousness. We grew up with a sense of right and wrong. And if we got out of line, it was spanked into us. It was all done very essentially in a real religious sense. It all had given birth an admirable vitality to this nation, but which is sorely lacking among our fellow citizens today. I mean, mention John Wayne or Audie Murphy or Clint Eastwood to a deplorable of a certain age, and you get a smile of acknowledgement and agreement. I mean, I don't know too many liberals who like Fort Apache other than the Henry Fonda role in it. But then look what became of his daughter. To enliven the moral imagination, to also appreciate the legacy of our endangered culture, there is no better and no simpler way than to engage in viewing the best of classic westerns. And so, maybe we'll offer a short list of some of the finer western films out there. They can all be had on DVD. Some are catchable occasionally on TCM or the Encore Westerns channels. You know, you may have your own favorites. I mean, I look at the collaboration of director John Ford and John Wayne. Truly unique in cinematic history. Some of their finest works may well include The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, which has to rank near the top of any list of great westerns, for a lot of very unusual reasons. Then there's the Cavalry trilogy from the late 1940s, Fort Apache, Rio Grande, She Wore a Yellow Ribbon. None of those films is politically correct. Consider the band playing Dixie at the Cavalry pass by at the end of Rio Grande, or the moving respect given to deceased former Confederate General Private John Smith in She Wore a Yellow Ribbon. We'll be back in just a moment. The good times ain't over for good.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. sell your property fast, and leave all your worries behind.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Yeah, that's us. Politically uncorrect. Or incorrect, if you want to choose the proper word. But in the general scheme of things, it doesn't matter. The end result, and it may in fact be the end, is what it's all about. You know, critics generally considered Stagecoach and the Searchers to be the best John Ford, John Wayne collaborations. And yet, again, political correctness and modern egalitarianism find no defenders therein. Rather, obedience to duty, moral courage, loyalty to one's state and family. These are the virtues celebrated and heralded. The late Professor Mel Bradford once stated that the John Wayne film Red River was his favorite film. And the author can see why. It is the story of post-war between the states of Texas and the great legendary cattle drives. But also it unraveled in detail conflicting loyalties, the father and son relationship, the belief in honor, in keeping one's word as a bond of trust. We've spoken of Peckinpah's Ride the High Country with Scott and McRae, both, by the way, hardcore conservatives politically. As were the vast majority of Western actors. Right before playing in Ride the High Country, Scott did a series of 7 lean Westerns with director Bud Betcher. beginning with Seven Men From Now, ending with Comanche Station, each recounting the story of a man alone against the elements and against those who would stop him. Always there was a duty to be fulfilled, honor to be kept. Is there any honor left in this nation today? I certainly don't see it out of the majority of our politicians. I don't see it out of Wall Street. I don't see it in the schools. I don't see it in Hollywood. And I don't see it in an exceedingly large group of so-called human beings in this country. Well, they may seem to think they have a duty, but there's no honor in what they do. And there's no honor in what you and I are not doing. Many Westerns are, shall we say, to be correct, Southern Westerns that use the war between the states as an essential backdrop, an integral player in the plot and the action. And thus such standout films such as Jesse James with Tyrone Power, Henry Fonda, then yes, even Randolph Scott. Then it was the return of Frank James with Fonda. Run of the Arrow with, believe it or not, Rod Steiger. The true story of Jesse James with Robert Wagner and Jeffrey Hunter. Rebel in Town with John Payne. And a film that's been a personal favorite of mine for well over 60 years, a very little known film. Rocky Mountain, starring Errol Flynn, Patrice Wymore, who would become his wife, third wife, and Slim Pickens. Those are movies that, at the least, presented the Southern viewpoint, unmarred by modern political correctness or the cultural Marxist fascination about race that everything must resolve around that subject. James Garner, well known for his portrayal in TV's Maverick, but also starred in several very underrated Western films, most notably Hour of the Gun from 1967. It was kind of a continuation of the classic 1950s gunfight at the OK Corral. It starred Garner, Robert Ryan, Jason Edwards played Doc Holliday. It continues the famous OK Corral narrative to its deadly conclusion. And for a long time, ignored by the film critics, but it's gained in reputation in some years. One of my favorites is a superb study of how Wyatt Earp, that's Garner's character, changes over time, and much of it through tragedy. A couple more John Ford films fill out this list, both of which emphasize a fundamental moral understanding that underlying and undergirding the basis of our culture, that there's a religious sensibility. And this is a film I remember from being a young kid. Interestingly enough, it was filmed in the year of my birth. Three Godfathers. Once again with John Wayne. Also Ward Bond, a almost lifelong friend of his. Harry Carey Jr. Yeah. Ford had his famous stock company of dependable and outstanding actors, as most of us know. But this particular film was deeply Christian with its symbolism of penance and redemption. Then it was Wagon Master with Harry Carey and Ward Bond again, a young Ben Johnson. A lyrical chronicle of pilgrims searching for that ideal valley, that eventual home where they may set down roots, raise their families under both natural and divine positive law. In so many words, it is not the story of the American experience of blood and land and rootedness and faith, isn't it? You see, my friends, we really cannot separate our politics from our culture and our history. But there are those who are doing all they can to cause that to happen now. The culture of our society reflects, in large measure, a religious outlook we have and exhibit. Cardinal John Henry Newman observed more than a century and a half ago that political issues always reflect an essentially religious question at their base. Political issues. What is the religious question that the BLMs have take today and the Antifas? What religion do they follow? Classic Westerns offer insight into who we have been as a people, our hopes, our aspirations, our trials and tragedies, but also our triumphs. They offer in film the stories of legendary heroes and heroic events. They hold up honor and duty as admirable benchmarks. They emphasize the importance of family and of place. And they reveal the necessity of a grounded religious faith in the pursuit of our ideals. And so in all of the talk about making America great again, we must understand that such efforts involve a panoply of activities on different levels. Not just about how we vote, but also in the family, the church, the schools, what we choose to do for entertainment. And one way to accomplish this is in the place of the tawdry and garish culture that parades before us, to gather in a family, view a classic John Wayne, or John Ford film, or something with one of those fine Westerners of yesteryear, the Joel McRae as Stephen Judd, or Randolph Scott, maybe an Audie Murphy. I mean, what do the kids know about Audie Murphy today? Who is he? What was he? Why was he so famous? Frankly, between you and I, he was a lousy actor. There's maybe one film that I liked his work in. The Unforgiven. Not the later film of a similar title starring Clint Eastwood. My friends, our heritage, the principles that we hold dear or once held most dear will live, but only if we let them live first within us, within ourselves. And if we pass them on unsullied to our children, the culture we have received from our ancestors in the great legends and wonderful stories brought to the silver screen nourish the moral imagination and help repair the disintegrative diseases of the modern mind. As for me, all I want is to enter my house justified, to do my duty, fulfill my purpose before God, my family, my fellow men, and indeed, doing that might make America great again. Powerful commentary, Boyd Cathy, originally published in December of 2017, but roughly 3 years ago. We live in very difficult times. I got off the air last night, and I could not, as of this moment, sit there and tell you what I did on last night's program. I probably have a little bit of an idea. These programs sometimes have become more difficult to put together because we're living in not so pleasant times. And yet, when I sometimes complete those hours, I am so drained that within minutes, I hit the mattress and I pass out. And that's what I did last night. I was out by 6:15, 6:20. I just said, that's it, I'm done. I went and laid down. And I woke up at 11:30, roughly 5 hours later. And I was up until working nonstop till nearly 2 o'clock this afternoon. At noon, I actually tried to give up and go lay down. I figured I can get 4 hours sleep. I'll be in good shape. And my phones kept ringing. My granddaughter. Two different car repair places I've got some things going on with right now. But it was nearly 2 hours later before I finally fell asleep. My wife came in to wake me up, and I thought it was 4 o'clock in the morning. My God. And I was so fogged out. And yet, I was prepared to share all of this with you today. Something to think about. You may wish to share this with other people. The article's entitled, All I Want to Do Is Enter My House Justified. You can actually find that at federalobserver.com. You can read it. Enjoy looking at the few images that I've also published in there. A poster of the John Wayne film, The Searchers. I own that poster. It's another one. And every time I get a chance to watch Ride the High Country, I do so. There's some pretty tacky acting going on, but there's some really good stuff. And you'll recognize the young woman who's in that film as one of her very first films. I can't think of her name offhand. But what a film it is. And to watch this progress and this growth as these two old cowboys are facing down the bad guys, some really smarmy folks. It's quite a film. It all has to do with greed and interest enough gold. You scroll down a little further, you'll see a poster for the film Red River. This is a reproduction of a Belgian copy of the film. I own a copy of that as well, that Belgian poster. For some reason, they did it in different colored backgrounds, maybe depending on when the film was being released or what part of Belgium the film was being released. And the particular image on the article here has got kind of a deep reddish background, etc. The one I've got, which hangs in my other room, has got more of a bluish colored background. Other than that, it's the identical image. I began buying the Belgian film poster some years ago because I like the size, but I like the quality. Now, these are not reproductions. These are pieces that came out of the 1950s, the early 60s. And when they would have to go do some reproduction to the American film poster, they didn't do like we began doing, just putting pictures up there and saying, here's the movie. No, they had artists that came in and did amazing painting, just exquisite work. I had an opportunity once to buy an original, and the guy just flat out bid me, and I was only going to go so far. The Rocky Mountain film with Flynn, a very, very unique film. He dies in the end of that film, as do pretty much all of the people in his team or on his side. And then, of course, there's She Wore a Yellow Ribbon, another amazing film. There's always something about that particular American set of lobby cards that bothered me because John Wayne's character looked more like God, and I'm blanking. I can see the guy, Walter Pigeon. That's who he looks like in this thing over on the black and white side, the photographic side. Interesting. But that's not the purpose of it all. I had several comments left on this article. Daniel F. said it's all over with the passing of James Drury. LQ Jones alive, but thank you. And a guy named John leaves a message on July 2nd. Says, yeah, Randolph Scott remains our best enduring Western star, followed by John Wayne, but let's not intrude too far into their personal lives when judging their work. After all, Wayne was a terrible racist and Scott was gay. Oh, you've not heard that before, that Randolph Scott was gay? Years ago, I knew a family in Sedona, Arizona, the first people we ever met there. They owned a hotel. We stayed there just the night we purchased that house in Sedona. And came back and stayed there. We got to know these people so well. I worked with one of their sons, and they became very, very good friends. And she'd been a hairdresser in Hollywood for some years, and openly, Randolph Scott was gay, but, you know, you'd never know. But for John to make the statement he made and about John Wayne being a terrible racist, I said, John, I would say that you know very little about John Wayne. The references to the Duke being racist is pure modern-day media bullshit. And if you believe that, then you've done little to no study of that statement. Excuse my language, ladies, but it had to be said, and that's exactly how I responded to the man. All I want to do is enter my house justified. And more, each and every day, I lean more and more toward that statement because it makes so much sense. It's where I think most of us want to be. Now, I think most of us in our life can be somewhat proud of that which we've accomplished and the things that we've done. But more importantly, we want to make sure that we continue to take those same attitudes as we prepare to enter that house, to do our duty, to fulfill our promises and our purposes before God and our family and our fellow men. And indeed, while doing all that, maybe making America great again. But are we going to be given those opportunities? I don't know. I just don't know. I sometimes wonder why I continue to broadcast after this quarter of a century plus. Who am I reaching? Old farts like myself? Maybe some of you are newer listeners. Maybe some of you have been around listening to me on and off for a lot of years. Many of us think the way we do, we act the way we do because of our upbringing, the things we were taught and the raised and the challenges that were put before us at a young age. And a little spanking on the bottom when it was deserved. Things that you possibly couldn't do today because the children have learned that it's against the law for our parents to raise their hand upon their butts. And they call 911. They call the police to say, I'm being physically abused by my father or my mother. And they send the cops right over to arrest you. And, oh, boy, you better not have a gun because those will be taken away from you and confiscated because you're a child abuser now. I have a right to guide my children and teach them and educate them when they get out of line and they get smarmy and they talk bad to their mother and the whole nine yards. Guess what? They got it coming. You may not agree with that, some of you younger folks, but it is a reality factor. These are the things that made us who we are, who we became. Thank you, Quince. I'm more than appreciative of that comment. And my friend, the doc, who loves to text me while I'm on the air. Love Jack Elam. Oh, God, he was great. High Noon, superb film. And one of the few films Grace Kelly did. It was one of her actually very first films. I could go on talking about films forever. And they taught us many lessons. They really did. What are the films of today teaching us? The last movie I was at was probably 3-4 years ago. My wife and our then 12-13-year-old granddaughter went to see a film that had to do with a dog that got lost from its home and its family and the journey it went on to find its way home. Those are the kind of films that are still worth looking at. I don't care about going to see Star Wars. Stallone has made too damn many Rocky movies and too many, what are the other movies were, the, you know, Rambo. I understand he recently found Jesus. Oh, I don't know if we've got the time. No, I don't think we do. A marvelous story that came before me today, interestingly enough, dealing with John Wayne. I'll not have time to share it with you today. Something that happened about 3 weeks before he met his maker. He found Christ. He moved forward. Some of it came about because of something that had happened to a daughter of a good friend of his who lost her leg to an amputation. And he wrote her a letter to extend his heartfelt concerns for her, hope that she was doing all right. She was so moved that she sat down and hand wrote him a letter. And all she wrote on the envelope was John Wayne, but didn't know how to get it to him. Someone happened to come in to see her that day, and she mentioned that she had done this, and mentioned that she didn't know how to get it to him. And the person said, well, it's interesting this came about because I'm having dinner with John Wayne tonight. And so he took the letter. And where they were meeting is a place that I've been to in Newport Beach. It's a marvelous place that is still to this day dedicated and has marvelous pictures of John Wayne all over the place. And sat down with about 15 people, and they're all drinking and laughing it up and having a good time. And then the person forgets about the letter and hands it down to John Wayne, and he sits there quietly while the carousing is going on, and he's reading this letter, and he begins to cry. And someone asked him why. And he told them, well, I can't tell you the rest of the story, my friends, because number one, we're out of time, and number two, there's more to the story than all of this, and I may print it over the weekend. You'll get to read it for yourself. It will move you, I promise you. That's about the end of our time. You there, Michael? I don't hear any tunes, brother. Okay. You folks have a good one. Lord willing, I'll see y'all on Monday. Hope this program got some good things to you, okay? Take care. Bye-bye.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.